Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've got a Sabres game tonight, the Amari Cooper trade from yesterday, and of course the Bills do come off that win against the Jets. A lot of fun heading into the middle of October. We still got a little bit under a month here until the actual NFL trade deadline, but it was really, I mean, it was fun yesterday.
Big day,
Josh.
Yesterday.
It was fun yesterday to see. There were ultimately became three trades because Cam Akers also gets moved to the Vikings, but it was really fun to see just the two teams that played on Monday night both go, you know what? We need to do this, and we're going to do it now.
Well, it's funny because you said it before the show. The Jets have made back-to-back huge moves on Tuesdays.
Love it. Like, well, I love that it's just they decided Tuesday is going to be their day to do things.
Like, isn't that the stock market, like the in the 1920s, the Black Tuesday or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just every single Tuesday for the Jets.
But they go from firing Robert Saleh. You get the whole week of that, and now we're going to get a whole week of Davante Adams, who's, by the way, hamstring miraculously healed. They're hoping he plays on Sunday night.
That's crazy. That flight over must have been – they must have done something, new medical miracle on that flight from Las Vegas to New York.
Miracles of modern medicine.
He's just healed.
It's stunning. Yeah. But I will say I've been thinking about both of these trades. Number one, the Davante Adams trade, one of the least surprising moves, I think, of the season so far. You can even throw in the offseason as well. Because it's just everyone sort of knew Vegas doesn't want to pay anything, and the Jets are desperate.
And Rodgers wants his buddy back.
Yeah, they want to make Rodgers as happy as humanly possible.
Did you see their appearance on Pat McAfee's show yesterday?
Well, yeah, because
Rodgers was there, and then he just pans the camera up to Davante Adams.
Well, because the whole thing there, too, was like, oh, he's already in the building.
It's like, yeah, you think?
and like he was like, oh, okay, and then he's on his appearance with Pat McAfee, and it's like, oh yeah, he took a red eye at like 3 a.m.
I'm willing.
This trade's been done for a while.
I'm willing to bet that this is just me speculating. I think he was in New York Monday night.
I mean, it felt like it.
I really think that he left Vegas before the Raiders even played on Sunday.
He's like, I'm out. I'm tired.
Like he
I cannot
just,
do this.
Just,
I am done.
Okay, no, I think he probably had to be at that game. So he was probably there at the game and immediately left. See you guys, I'm out.
It was just, but it was fun to see that happen. And then a few hours later, and even listening to Ian Rapoport, who was at the NFL owners meetings, I saw it last night, basically say, yeah, the Bills pivoted pretty quickly after they knew they weren't going to get Adams. And this deal got done very quickly. So to see the Bills move at seemingly a breakneck pace to get this done, add the guy that I know many fans have brought up, I've been bringing him up a lot of who I preferred over Adams, I'm incredibly excited for the move. I think the passing game looked better against the Jets, but they were very clearly still missing that outside boundary wide receiver who could stretch the field, make big plays. You know, too many times, Josh, they were going to Mac Hollins on those deep shots, 15-plus yards down the field.
Yeah.
And he wasn't coming up with any of them. I know Cooper leads the league in drops with 9,
Who's throwing him the football.
Well, I think that plays into it.
I can't stress that enough.
But to be fair, he also does have drop issues. Like not just Watson.
Right.
Like, that's been a part of his career.
But
in terms of him leading the league, though, already and assuming that pace is just going to continue, I don't think so.
No. And I think a large part of that, too, I think it kind of gets overlooked sometimes, but I feel like the feeling of being checked out for a team, like I just don't want to be here anymore, that is definitely real. And I think that's super prevalent with a lot of Browns players right now, because even like look at like Jerry Jeudy, he had a first good few weeks and then it just kind of
Yeah, it seems to be the only person excited to play for the Browns right now is Nick Chubb, and that's because he's coming off an injury.
It's also because
he's like, I want to play football again.
He's been there forever, and he's kind of like their guy, really. I mean, if you think about reliable Browns players.
Him and Myles Garrett.
Yeah, right. So if you're Nick Chubb, it's like, yeah, I get to come back, but I have to play with these people, apparently.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But it's an exciting move. It's one that I wanted them to make. I didn't know if they would, though. Honestly,
I didn't know
how much the Bills were going to go into this year's draft, you know, draft capital room or what have you, and actually push for the season. I wonder, though, if them winning on Monday night kind of pushed them into a situation of, we can do something this year. We just need to make this move. Like, I do wonder if they lose to the Jets on Monday night. Or, and I know Sal brought it up yesterday with Chopin the Bulldog, you know, what if the Adams trade isn't made? Do the Bills then go for Cooper? Or, as, you know, Rapport put it, like, you know, do they maybe stay with Adams? Although he kind of put it as, like, once they knew they weren't going to get him, and I imagine that had more to do with taking on his entire salary.
Right, that's the part that kind of shocked me the most with the Jets, is that they took on the entire salary. I think that's the only reason why the Bills weren't able to swing this trade, is because they, being the Raiders, probably wanted any team trading for him to take the entire salary.
Yeah, take it
all. The Jets are willing to do that, which, that's fine. You know, we can get to them more in a little bit, but the Jets getting Devontae Adams, it's a good move, but it's also not the move that's going to save their season.
Yeah, we were talking about it right before we jumped on air today, and that was my big thing, is I think both of these moves are desperate. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about this too. I think both of these moves are desperate. For the Bills, I think they very quickly realized, I'd even say before the Houston game, I'd say Baltimore, they kind of realized, ooh, we don't have anybody that's stretching the field.
Let's just feel it out, see how things go here. And that, they took 2 weeks, but then it's... You know.
Well, I mean, yeah, you also got to like wait for the trade market to actually open up.
Right, I mean, I think if the Devontae trade, if the Adams trade doesn't happen, not necessarily, you know, to the Jets, but if it just doesn't happen at all yesterday, I don't think the Cooper trade happens either. I think that Cooper trade, regardless of who gets Adams, that Cooper trade happens hours afterwards because he's the next best thing after Devontae Adams. And that, I'm not saying the Bills would have made that trade, but, you know, anyone that was in on these two players, I think would have made a move very shortly afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I mean, you bring in Adams if you're the Jets. I don't think it fixes a lot of your issues. Nope. I think a lot of the reason why you're 2-4 are still prevalent. You cannot stop the run, and you can't keep Rodgers upright. The Bills' pass rush is compromised without Von Miller there. I mean, they ultimately get 3 sacks. Mm-hmm. Should have had 4. AJ Epenesa had a fantastic game. One of them... We all know the one.
Even Rodgers said,
yeah.
Even Rodgers said it should have counted.
But their pass rush has been compromised. They need to get better on the O-line. The problem is, though, their needs. A defensive tackle you could probably add and help out your run defense, even with an edge rusher as well. Offensive line is tough.
You're right.
It's the same saying now in college football. You can't build an offensive line through the transfer portal. You have to kind of grow.
You have to have these guys. They have to have chemistry.
Yeah, you got to grow that group together. Right. So on that part, they're kind of stuck where they're at. They tried to do a lot this offseason. It hasn't really worked all that well. They could add on the defense. I think this move for them, which is funny, it's coming off of Rodgers' best passing game of the year.
I was going to say, he was 6 yards shy, or not 6 yards, about...
He was just shy of 300.
Just shy of 300. The last Jets quarterback to pass for 300 was Zach Wilson.
Wasn't that last year?
Yes. Yeah.
Love that.
Now, Rodgers has not gotten over 300 yards yet this year, partially because of that offensive line. But I do think it's also in part of who he has to throw the ball to. Because, yes, he has Garrett Wilson, but we haven't seen that click like it was hyped up to be. That has never come to fruition the way that it seemed like it would.
Well, it finally did on Monday night.
Well, right, it did. But up to that point, it hasn't really done anything. And other than that, if Mike Williams, who...
Well, he's out. Yeah, it's not official, but that's going to be done and over
with. And then
with.
Who else? Nobody.
Alan Lazard.
He
keeps going to Alan Lazard.
Right.
The last 2 weeks, Rodgers has been able to get Wilson the ball. He's had over 100 yards in each last game. He had 23 targets, though, against Minnesota, which is never good. Man. So, they do need to add a receiver.
But not, like I said, we were talking about this, and I think if you flip the two, if Adams goes to Buffalo and Cooper goes to the Jets, both trades make more sense in terms of what those players do. Because Buffalo... While Cooper will help, I'm very excited for Cooper to get into the system and work with this offense. Devontae Adams was that X-factor type player that the Bills wide receiver group needed.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper is that perfect 1B or number two wide receiver behind Garrett Wilson that can just take some of the pressure off and be that extra guy every once in a while and be that guy that can just, you know, oh, Wilson's double covered. Oh, look, Cooper's wide open.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, that's where I look at these two trades. And obviously, like I said, I'm happy with the Bills trade, but I just think that if you look at what these two teams actually need, the two players should flip.
I see. I'm not there. I mean, I've been on adding Cooper for a few weeks here now, and really the big part of it for me was moving everyone down a peg. You know, Cooper now takes that outside spot. Now I think they can move Keon Coleman more into the inside.
Yeah, but
where
I think
before he's had to play on the outside. They don't have anybody else.
But Devontae Adams can do that too. He can also
move Coleman in. I don't really know if he's a yak guy though.
Fair.
I think Cooper adds more of that yak ability, which is what they want.
He does have great yards. Or separation yards.
Yep,
so
it's one of his best of his career. He's always been that guy.
Like I said, along with that, I
don't really want the Bills to have to pay a ton of money. Like, that's where I was just always against Adams. Number one, he's 2 years older, or he's going to be 2 years older than Cooper. Where with Amari Cooper, you don't have to sign him back after this year. I actually kind of arguably prefer you don't. I would like them to keep going younger.
I'm interested to see if they do, though, because it depends on if he performs well and he gets into the system right away, then why not sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal? You know, like, no, I'm not saying bring him around long term. He is 30.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old 30, it feels like, because it feels like he's been in the league forever. But
I think he got drafted when he was 20.
I think so. He's been in the league for a long time.
10 years, yeah.
But I think that, you know, you have to see how he does. But if you can keep him around and add someone in the offseason and then get younger with someone in the draft, like, that's the three things that
we've
been talking about, especially with all the cap space coming up. I mean, that's the one thing where I'm not sure if they will keep him around, because if they have all this cap space and someone becomes available, I think they're going to go get him. But you don't really know who that is now, because Devontae Adams was with the Jets. You don't know if he's going to re-sign there. And all the other guys you could sign long-term are kind of eh. You know, like,
The free agent list is never going to look good for wide receivers because, and I believe Jeremy's brought this up a lot, where it's a lot like quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys get paid,
right?
The good guys get paid.
They're high value players.
Yep. But the most you can hope for is like a solid. This dude's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he's our second, third wide receiver.
Like I said, I'm not saying this trade isn't good. I'm very happy with the trade. I just think that, like, if you look at what these two teams needed heading into or after Monday night's game, what they both looked like they needed, if the trade's flipped, I think it's even better. It's good right now, but I think it could be great if you flip the trades.
I don't think so. You still have to take on Adams' contract. You still have to do that. It's not just the player.
But it's only for 1 year.
Sure. And you already had to eat up $30 million of cap. You don't have that cap space.
Right.
You have to release somebody. They already had to release MBS, but you're going to release somebody. You're going to have to do way too much, plus giving up that third-round pick, where now for the Bills, it's a third-round pick and
probably
800 grand.
Second.
Yeah.
For Adams,
probably doesn't. He's got to be an all-pro, or they make the Super Bowl.
Well, if it was the Bills, I'm saying. I think it's easily a second. Right. I mean, there's no way that if Devontae Adams is on the Bills, there's no way that he doesn't become a Pro Bowler or make it to the championship game or the Super Bowl.
It's all pro. We're too far through the season. Yeah,
oh, okay.
We're too far through the season at this point. He would have to put up, funny enough, like Amari Cooper getting traded to Dallas numbers.
But and it's funny because, like, looking at these trades like broken down, I saw somebody posted this yesterday. The Jets trade the third round pick. The Bills trade a third and a seventh.
Mm.
Earlier in the season, at the end of the offseason, the Eagles traded a third and 2 sevenths for Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. A part of me does want to, like, stay a little bit more, like, level key about it,
mm-hmm.
because far too many times the Bills haven't been a part of these wide receiver trades. Everyone makes a big hoopla about it, how this is going to be an amazing move, it's going to change the dynamic, how could the league let this happen, what have you. You know, I remember the Jahan Dotson trade, because it's not that long ago. All I kept seeing was Howie Roseman again. Just what a wizard! The whole thing
through six games this year, Dotson has 6 receptions for 35 yards,
and they haven't had AJ Brown for a while.
Yeah.
They just
it's not
got him
like
back.
He's being outplayed.
Devonta Smith also was out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good. Which I mean, to be fair, every report out of Washington was telling you Jahan Dotson's not that good. Like every report was telling you that. So that's interesting. And yeah. We will get more of an idea. Tomorrow we're going to have a Cleveland Browns reporter on just to get a better idea of what's going on with Cooper. He's leading the league, or he led the Browns so far in catches, yards, and I think touchdowns. So, I mean, like he's been able to put up okay numbers on a team that still hasn't scored 20 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But
wild.
Not just on the John Dotson thing, but like, you know, go back to Kadarius Toney from a few years ago with Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many of these moves where it just the next day on talk shows and TV and what have you, it's this is going to change the dynamic. Again, how could the league let this happen, what have you? And then all of a sudden, nothing really happens. Sometimes they absolutely work.
Yeah. I mean,
I would be very surprised, though, if both Adams and Cooper worked.
With Devontae Adams, though, I think that the ability for him there to succeed is there. But is the ability with Rodgers anymore? I don't think it is. Even if he had a better offensive line, mm-hmm. I just don't – like what we saw on Monday night, sure, Aaron Rodgers can still throw the deep ball. Sure, he can
but that man has
complete
no
a
patience.
Hail Mary with two guys rushing him, which is still 24-hour rule. I'm sorry. But
it is interesting, though. He checked into that play.
Yeah, right.
It was not – looking back on it, the Bills maybe playing the sidelines, probably the right move, and then mm-hmm. and then Rodgers being the long-term veteran that he is – checked into a Hail Mary.
Right, right. But I just think that, like you said, the patience on the interception to seal the game, Breece Hall is wide open with mm-hmm. probably 15 yards ahead of him on the first down marker.
I've also never heard the verbiage Rodgers used, like the red line and stuff like that. And
oh,
even,
yeah. What
and
is
then,
what is
it's
that?
It's a bad throw.
Oh, yeah. He's way underthrown. I mean, to be fair, Taron Johnson makes an incredible interception.
Oh, it's an unbelievable interception.
Because I think if he doesn't get there, Mike Williams probably catches that. It was kind
I don't
of
know.
In his hands.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just
it might be close. They might, you know, have to. They'd probably have to replay, like do replays.
Yeah.
On it. But it looked very close to if Johnson is half a second later, either that ball is just knocked out or it's even possibly mm-hmm. caught. But it was a bad throw.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, he just didn't show any patience whatsoever all night long. He hasn't should
really
have had a fumble
year.
As well.
He hasn't all year.
Should have had a fumble in that game. That still.
But he hasn't shown any patience all year. He looks like a guy that is 40 years old,
mm-hmm.
dealing with a team that is trying to figure out how to win, and he's frustrated by it.
Do you think he's playing scared, too? Do you think he's getting nervous of like getting hit again?
No, not getting hit again. I think in terms of the playing scared, I do think there is something there where Rodgers, I think we all can acknowledge it because it is true. He is the best like free play guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a free play, he doesn't really like to push the ball down the field.
No.
That's a big reason why his interception numbers throughout the years have been down. He has always been a guy, I'm going to take exactly what the defense gives me. I just have the, you know, for a long time, had the best arm in football. Mm-hmm. I can fit it into tight windows. So if they're giving me a little, I'm going to take a mile.
And we saw one of those tight windows where he threw it, and the ball on the screen.
It graced Terrell Bernard's hip.
It, from my perspective, it looked like a Madden glitch, and the ball went through his body.
It grazed Terrell Bernard's hip. It was a perfect throw.
I didn't understand how
and
that happened.
And that's the thing, too. Like, you can see Rodgers still can make these throws. He's still got the mm-hmm. mind for the right. game. But
well, that never goes away, really. I mean, you never really lose that.
No, I always think of the Ray Lewis quote from years ago. I think it was his, like, football life that they put on NFL mm-hmm. Network, where he talked about, you know, there is a saying within, like, football locker rooms of just when you finally, like, everything makes sense. You know everything you can know about the game of football. Your body gives up. You run out of time.
Interesting. Wow. That's
and
kind
it's,
of...
And it's been a thing where with quarterbacks,
kind of
though,
hits hard.
I know. But with quarterbacks, it's a little different. Quarterbacks have been able to play much longer now. So these guys are... I mean, we saw it with Tom Brady. He played to, like, what, 44? And won a Super Bowl at, like, 42. Like,
right.
And he was still right. putting up insane passing numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers, you're seeing it. Like, he can still put up numbers. But his body is falling fast. Every game, it feels like this year, definitely the last three, he is taking hits that causes him to get up and limp towards the side or limp towards the line of scrimmage.
I thought he was going to
have. He is having really difficult time.
He had one in this past game. I mean, it looked. They were talking about, oh, Rodgers is, you know, bent over here. He looks like he's in pain, and then he just stands up and walks down the field. And I'm like, okay,
it's just I don't know how he gets through this season. I don't think he plays again after this year.
Mm-mm.
That's the worst part. I think I saw something yesterday that the Jets were already kind of able to rework Adams' contract, so they're looking forward to more years there.
Yeah,
but I just don't really know how
you're going to get Rodgers for more than this year.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
I think if he would have went into a scenario where he had a better offensive line, and I'm not saying the Bills have the best offensive line, but if he had an offensive line like the Bills,
mm-hmm.
where you're very well protected for most of the time.
Yeah.
This would, like, he would look like a completely different person. This would be a completely different last couple of years. I mean, I don't, you never know, obviously, but maybe he doesn't get hurt in that last year. Maybe he plays a whole season mm-hmm. with the Jets in his first year there. And it just seemed like they were never prepared for him to come there and be competitive.
Well, look, that was another desperation move.
Right.
Zach Wilson yeah. has failed. We might lose our jobs. We need to make this move now.
Yeah, instead of, you know, being patient and just drafting someone that isn't Zach Wilson, or just after Zach Wilson fails, you draft someone and actually, you know, develop them.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's go out and get this 40-year-old veteran that maybe is well past his prime.
Yeah, it's tough. I can understand both moves. I understand the Bills, though, more. I think for mm-hmm. the Jets, yeah. I don't think Kyle Brandt said it yesterday, I think perfectly, or at least I saw him tweet it out. The Jets now need to go 9-2 the rest of the way to secure a playoff spot.
And to make
not necessarily definitely make the playoffs, but like to secure one and know you're in.
And to make that trade make like sense. Not make sense, but justify the trade.
Yeah. Where the Bills are 4-2 and have a softer part of their schedule coming up.
Mm-hmm. The next four games we viewed it as...
Tennessee is one of the best passing defense in the league. They're 1-4. I mean, yeah. like that tells you a lot about where that team is at.
Right, and when we talked about the schedule in the offseason, this next set of four games coming up for the Bills was viewed as the, okay, this is the cushion mm-hmm. period. You had your tough first 5 weeks, 6 weeks. You have your Kansas City, your San Francisco, Detroit,
still, still down the line.
That's
yeah.
all coming. But right now, the Bills next up have the Titans, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, and the Colts.
Yep.
That's your next cushiony window of like, okay, you made it here. Now go win the games you're supposed to win and get ready for Kansas City. Get ready for San Francisco.
I will say, though, and hearing both Sean McDermott and Joe Brady speak about, you know, the Cooper trade and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how quickly they're actually going to get Cooper involved.
Yeah,
like for the Jets,
would love
it seems like Adams,
see
he's oh, a go yeah. for Sunday
but
night.
If you
don't even worry about it.
If you think about it, there is, in a normal scenario, that trade also makes a ton of sense because of the past, you know, knowledge there. Because he's not only with Aaron Rodgers again, he's also with Nathaniel
no,
Hackett
of
again.
Of course, yeah,
so
that makes sense.
Even though Hackett's not calling plays, it's still his system. It's still his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And Adams has played in that. He played in that for, what, 4 or 5 years with Rodgers?
Good bit, yeah. I mean,
so,
I think that's the key is, like, yeah. even if he doesn't know certain plays, Rodgers just tell him, hey, do this.
Yeah, and he'll know exactly because they
yeah.
know each other. They're familiar with each
one
other.
One of the best combinations
mm-hmm.
in the league. I don't necessarily know about league history, but definitely for, like, their period, it was one of the best.
Yeah, I would love to see the Bills get Cooper in this week. I don't know if it happens. We don't
just have him be ready by Seattle.
Yeah, for sure.
If
and
he's
I
not,
think he
if he's
will.
Not super prepared and like can be like a full go this weekend, I think you're fine. It is Tennessee. They are 1-4. And mm-hmm. you are getting healthier. I think it's another week where Shakir's healthier, what have you. He's still on the field. I'm not saying he's gonna be healthy and active.
What if Cooper, you know, takes on kind of like what Shakir did this past week in a more of a limited role of just getting out there?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a focal point by any means. You know, it's still very much Shakir, Coleman, Hollins, Kincaid, you know, all that stuff. But I want to see him get involved early. I think that it's important too because of what he's been going through in Cleveland, where it's, you know, if it was the scenario of, yeah, the player has kind of checked out here, they don't really want to play anymore. We don't mm-hmm. know if that's what it was, but it very well could have been. It's a terrible situation in Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, it's,
and
it's
so
the
if,
worst.
If that's what he's coming from, you kind of have to have him check back mm-hmm. in pretty quickly because it is week 7. It
yeah.
is, again, like the softer part of your schedule, but this is the perfect time to ramp him up and have him ready for later in the season, the playoffs, all of those important games.
Yeah.
These are the games where you can put him in there in more of a limited role and just have him get used to the offense.
Yeah, if he's in a limited role for Tennessee, I'm fine with that. Like, if
yeah.
the snap count's low, would have I'm fine. If that's cool, whatever.
Well, Shakir had, what, like a 38% snap count or something like that?
When obviously dealing with the ankle.
Right,
It seemed like he was going to be just a third down receiver. I don't know if that ended up happening, but
yeah.
it felt like it.
But if that's what Cooper is this week,
yeah.
I would love it.
I just kind of want him ready to go for Seattle.
Yeah.
That's really about it. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, how are we doing today?
Excellent. Thank you. I who cannot love this trade? You know, it makes me think, Chiefs, how come you didn't do this? Or anybody else that...
They're kicking themselves.
Oh, my gosh. But here's my question, and I haven't listened a lot to know if this has already been talked about. If the Bills do not re-sign Cooper, and he goes to be a free agent, you know, which would command a lot of money, because he always has, are we eligible for a compensatory pick, which then ends up being basically a free rental player? You know, to me, the sixth and seventh round swaps are an even thing. If we even get a fourth round pick as a compensatory pick, if we're eligible, to me, that's even. I mean, is this like a free guy in a way if we don't re-sign him?
Ray, thanks for the call. It's sadly not. Even if it was, I think it's because Cooper was not on the opening day roster.
Joe and Jeremy looked this up earlier. Mm-hmm. Joe was saying something with has to do with void years and things like that.
Yep.
But it would be great. I mean, that would be a super cool loophole in the system.
Yeah,
you know, but unfortunately, no.
And I got Sal here too. Due to him being a 10-year vet, it would be a fifth at best.
Mm.
And then along with that, it actually wouldn't even be this offseason. It would be the next offseason, 2026. So it'd be, you get a free play if this were, and it's not, if you were even to get a comp pick, it would be, you know, the next year, which would be nice, but it's, as Sal put it, a fifth at best. Not great. They may, though, have like 3 4th round picks this year, though, due to comp picks.
Yeah,
so
which is cool. And I mean,
yeah, getting rid of that third didn't hurt nearly as bad when you might have 3 4ths
and
2 seconds.
And you have 2 seconds.
Yeah. That makes it kind of feel good.
Right.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling about the Amari Cooper trade? What would you like to see, or how quickly do you want to see Cooper get implemented into the offense? We'll love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550, again, the number to call. But coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get a look at the Sabres as they begin a back-to-back road series. Pittsburgh tonight, Columbus tomorrow. Pre-game for both those games starting at 6 for 7 p.m. Puck drops. We'll get a look in on the Sabres with Paul Hamilton. Again, that's coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Mamma mia, here I go again. Mama, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again? Mama, just how much I missed you.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres are in action tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, though, they are in Pittsburgh, a 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. And with that, we go to the Wester Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very well. How about the Yankees real quick? Look at that.
Yeah, I got to see the last half inning. That was it because I was traveling yesterday, so... but I got to the hotel to see them finish it off, which was nice. And then, of course, watched the post game, so I got the highlights. But, yeah, 2-0, but I'm never one that It's like, well, there's still a long ways to go. Let me know when they get to four.
Right, right. So you are in Pittsburgh then?
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, I have not been to Pittsburgh in so long. Mike Shope went to Pittsburgh this weekend. I'm like, I got to get over there. It's the 3-hour drive and not really having weekends free anymore, Paul. That just leads me to be like, I'll do it later. And then 5 years pass and I haven't gone yet.
5 years passed. Jeez.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
5 years ago?
It's been a while since I've been to Pittsburgh. So, Paul, for tonight, though, I think the big story heading into tonight's game is J.J. Paterka even going to play. It felt like he was maybe going to play over the weekend. That didn't end up happening. It's kind of been a lot of, you know, we hope he's, you know, good enough to go. We think he's going to do well. He did well practice. But it's been a bit of a slow roller here.
Yeah, he's been practicing hard. There's no question about that. There's been no restrictions on him there. Lindy Ruff said yesterday that he hopes to have him tomorrow. You know, we'll see how he gets through practice, and morning skates for the most part are just optional. Now, he has been out for morning skates so far, even though they're optional. So we talked to Lindy in about a half hour, and we'll see what he says about it.
Anything on Zach Benson, or pretty much the same thing? Because he sounded like it was a little more closer, but they wanted to be 100% on him before
he
gets in the lineup.
He just, you know, Benson, he kind of feels that Benson wanted to play so badly, maybe he came back too early. He just feels, Lindy Ruff feels that he's not himself. He hasn't seen Zach Benson in the last couple of games. That's one of the reasons why when they went down to three lines, he was not part of the three lines and sat the bench for a lot of that game. I think he had one shift in the third period. So, we'll see on him, because if Paterka plays, somebody has to come out. I don't know if he wants to pull Kulik out. He's liked him so far. So Benson might be the guy, considering that Lindy just doesn't feel he's 100%.
Looking back to the Sabres' last game they played, 5-2 win over Florida. They went down early, but then had a really good finish to the first period. They were able to actually, you know, kind of finish the game, Paul, which is something we've talked about that oftentimes they can't. 5-2 win, and Devin Levi, is he sort of taking hold of that number one goalie spot? This could have been bad on me. I wasn't totally paying attention going into the night. Texas and Oklahoma were playing. That's on me, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Is he, though, sort of taking that number one goalie spot from UPL, or is it still kind of play the hot hand? We're going to see how it goes.
No. I mean, Lukin has been fine, too. They both played well. Levi tends to see more shots than Lukanen does. I mean, Lukanen's goals against is 2.56 and Levi's is 2.57. So, I think right now they're going to stay with the plan, especially with a back-to-back. They're going to stay with the plan of alternating. So that would, if they do that, that would put Lukanen in today's game, Levi in tomorrow's, and Lukanen against Chicago. If they keep doing that, I kind of thought that starting the year that they would roll with Lukanen since he really took the number one job last year. But right now it's more like the Bruins did last year, just go back and forth between the two goaltenders. At least that's what they've done through the first four games.
So one thing that we saw on Saturday that was a little interesting was the 11-7. Do you think that could potentially be something again, or do you think that might have just been a you know, on the spot sort of decision?
I said this the other night. I wasn't 100% buying that they just wanted to get Gilbert in the lineup since he played less than 5 minutes. It was Sam Lafferty. Ruff wasn't happy with him. He talked about it yesterday that two offensive zone penalties was part of it. He felt he's not getting out of Sam Lafferty what he felt he could be getting out of him. So that's why. I mean, did he want to get Gilbert into the lineup, a harder player against a hard team? Yes, true. Get him his first game. But Lafferty is a hard player also. It's not like you took a guy who, you know, who plays like Olsson, who plays in the perimeter and, you know, that kind of thing. Lafferty's hard to play against, too, when he's on his game. So that's what made me suspicious of the whole thing. And Lindy Ruff confirmed what I was thinking yesterday, that I was thinking pretty much the two offensive zone penalties, which are non-negotiable to Lindy Ruff. And he said that was part of it. But he said he's had a conversation with Lafferty and he expects more.
Paul, another player I do want to ask you about here is Jordan Greenway. I've been really impressed just in kind of everything he's been doing. He's seemingly been willing to grind it out. He scored a goal against Florida. He's seemingly been everywhere on a team that up until Saturday was bereft of goals. He's kind of been one of the bright spots to start this year.
Yeah, he's been that way since he's arrived, basically, but people just haven't been noticing, maybe because the team plays poorly. But there's nobody better at getting into the zone quickly and causing turnovers. That's why Thompson likes playing with him, mm-hmm. because you know he constantly gets in there, wins the battles, causes turnovers, and that creates opportunity for Tuck and Thompson when he's with them. And you know, he did that when Thompson scored that one goal in Europe. You know, Greenway was out there with the two of them, and the three of them crashed the net and you know, got the goal. But that's what he does. I talked to him for pregame tonight, and it's like the anticipation he has is just unbelievable. You know, it's sometimes he looks like he knows what the other team's going to do before they do, and positions himself very well to be able to do that. So it's interesting with him and with that. So he's been very good. Now, you know, is he going to fight? If he has to, he will. But he's not a fighter, and that's, you know, in Buffalo, if you're not a fighter, you're not a good hockey player in many people's minds. So that's why he gets so much flack. I mean, I was reading articles where, well, Greenway might be the odd guy out, you know, preseason articles, or he's going to be on the last line. And what? No, that's not going to happen. He's not going to be the odd man out, or he's not going to be getting 8 minutes of ice time. I mean, he's an important part of this team. And he might be one of the best penalty killers in the NHL, not just on the Sabres, in the NHL. With the anticipation, the smartness, and the reach that he has, he does an excellent job penalty killing. And, yeah, all right, he's probably not going to score 20 goals for you. But with all the other things he does he? I don't think he needs to score 20 goals because he's so good at all the rest of the things that lead to offense, lead to defending, lead to good penalty killing.
Someone else that has kind of shined with Greenway is Ryan McLeod. I've really liked him so far. And do you think that they're just kind of feeding off of each other, or do you think that's just McLeod's style of play and it's just, you know, playing well with Greenway? Or, like, is it a chemistry thing? Is it a just both playing the same style? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, Greenway is playing with the new guys, but you got to remember, too, Zucker played with Greenway in Minnesota, so they know each other.
That's right.
But, he gets the two new guys. What McLeod brings, we knew it when they traded for him, is the speed and a good two-way player. And he's an excellent two-way player. He brings that speed, which backs teams off. When you got that kind of speed, it backs the other teams off. He can win faceoffs. He's at 55.6 winning faceoffs. I mean, Lindy Ruff had talked about when he was hired that the Sabres needed to improve on that. And they were, if they weren't the worst team in the league, they were pretty close to the worst team in the league, and faceoffs have been for years. Thompson's at 53.5. Krebs is at 54.6. McLeod's at 55.6. And Cousins is at 52.2. They're all up there. That's something that guys who weren't good at faceoffs have worked on, obviously, because at least through four games, they've done an excellent job, and McLeod is one of those guys, along with the speed that he provides, the penalty killing that he provides. Another guy that, are you expecting 20 goals out of? No. Double figures wouldn't be unreasonable for either him or Greenway. But it's the other things that they do, you need those types of players. You just can't have everybody scoring 20 goals. You know, 12 forwards, they all score. You need a mixture of players, and that's what the Sabres are trying to do with some of the things that they've done in the offseason.
All right, Paul, no more positives here, because we do got to bring up the fact that through four games, they still have not scored on the power play, and it doesn't really look all that good at all. I mean, they're hitting the post a lot, and you've mentioned it. You don't know if there's maybe a team out there that hits the post more, but there are at times you almost want them to be a man down because the penalty kill looks more dangerous than the actual power play. What have you seen through four games? Because I'm getting to a point, too, like when they get a power play, I roll my eyes going, all right, how upset am I going to be over these next 2 minutes?
Well, they are getting better from the standpoint of they can at least get into the zone now.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
They couldn't even get it past the blue line to start the season. But they're still forcing plays. They get antsy. Next thing you know, they're trying to force passes or force shots that get blocked. And then the passes get picked off or deflected and out they go. So, you know, that's been the biggest problem I've seen lately is just they continue to try to force plays. And then the other team gets it and goes. I can't say, well, they're battling hard in front of the net because I don't think they're getting that far to battle hard in front of the net. It's not that often that they get set up that they can start getting the battles going in front of the net. So that's still incomplete as far as talking about are they battling more? Are they battling harder? They are coming out with some pucks, as I said, that they have the puck, they have control, they make a few passes, but the other team pressures them, and that's what teams do. They've realized you pressure the Sabres, they'll get all discombobulated. There'll be a little bit of panic in their game, and they probably will force something for you. So that's something they have to do, too. They don't have to respect the point shot because it's rare that Dahlin and Power shoot. So they don't have to worry about the guy, you know, quarterbacking the power play, which is key. I mean, that guy has to start shooting. The other teams have to start honoring it because that will help open up some other things for you.
So, Paul, the other big bit of news from this earlier in this week, on Monday, we had a bit of a scuffle at practice. I mean, what's your take on it? And, you know, how do you think that's going to affect things, if at all? I mean, it sounded like both.
I can't even remember the last fight I've seen in practice.
The big hit, too, like that looked super just odd for an NHL practice.
Well, Dahlin got annoyed because Krebs accidentally high-sticked him in front of the net. The video did not show that. And then, they came back. If the problem I had is you went for the knees. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's a teammate. Yeah. If you've got a problem, drop your gloves and go. Don't go for the knees. And that you're the captain of the team, and you got a guy coming from center ice, and you're mad at him, and you go for the hip check at the knees. No, that's totally wrong. That's not right at all. If you're mad, just drop the gloves like you wound up doing and go. I mean, don't try to take his knees out from him.
All right, Paul. Pre-game coming up at 6, 7 p.m. puck drop, and you said Lindy Ruff's going to be speaking here, in the 11 o'clock hour?
Yeah, about 11:10, somewhere in there.
All right, sounds good. Paul, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you for pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline as we do get ready for Sabres and Penguins coming up at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I think Paul's spot on to in that point of, like, don't go for the knees.
Right.
I did like the energy of, like, the fact that, like, they were that ticked off four games in to, like, fight or whatever happened. You know, ultimately it ends up being kind of like a mishap before earlier in practice. But at the time, it was like, cool. Like, I love that the energy's up. Like, I enjoyed that from the Kings game to the Panthers game, it felt like they were playing the same style. They didn't go away. They didn't change things, which is a big problem under Granato.
Yeah, and it also felt like against Florida, you matched Florida's type of play.
And like you went down early. Early and didn't stop going.
They were down for what, 10 minutes? Not even?
Not even.
It was something very quick afterwards. I know they scored. So I really liked how they played, and I hope they can continue that against Pittsburgh. I know they've had their own issues against Pittsburgh, but
it would be nice, though, if after this week we can all kind of maybe sit back and go, okay, Prague just was not a good run. But outside of that, they've been good, or what have you. Or, like, again, they're not going to start off incredibly hot unless they go on like a 7-game win streak here, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, they're 7-3 or what have you. But if we can all, you know, after a week or after, you know, the next 4 or 5 games go, Prague was just kind of an anomaly. You know, that ultimately didn't work for them down in training camp practices. Okay, here we go. I think you're in good shape. And I've liked a good bit of what I've seen from the Sabres. To me, really, it has been the power play and just how bad you've been on it. That was a thing that potentially sank you last year, and you still haven't scored on it. I know Jeremy put up the moral victory for tonight. For me, it's I don't care if you go 1-for-5 on the power play. Just give me a goal on the power play to make me believe you actually can do it. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to get your thoughts in on the Sabres or, of course, the Bills trading for Amari Cooper. Always love to hear on that. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, Sal Capaccio will join the show. We are expected to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott later on, a little bit after 12:30. You know, Amari Cooper, is he in Buffalo yet? What have you? We'll get Sal's thoughts on that trade as well. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Quick segment here as we get ready for Sal Capaccio coming up at the top of the hour. Real quick, though, lost in all of the trade news yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers reportedly are going to be giving Russell Wilson first-team reps this week in practice, likely meaning that Justin Fields is going to get benched against the Jets for Sunday Night Football. Why?
Yeah,
I don't really have much else after, you know, he's 4-2.
Yeah,
you're not going to score more with Russell Wilson. Let's stop right there. Like, it's not like your offense is going to take a turn and, well, now here we are. Now we're competing with the big boys. No,
this is the real offense. No, this what you have
is what you have
is working.
Yeah,
why would you go away from that? And I don't care that you got Russell Wilson.
I think Mike Tomlin was outright asked, like, do you expect then Russell Wilson to have like the same escapability that you saw this past weekend? And he was just, no, like, no, I don't.
It's
very weird.
I know. And I don't understand, like, what the point is. Like, you're not sending a message. It's not like Fields hasn't been helping you win. Sure, maybe they would be better with Russell Wilson, but I doubt it.
This is Tomlin after not naming Justin Fields QB1 after a 4-2 start. Quote, Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. We've got a player with talent who hasn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. At face value, is a perfectly fine statement.
Yeah, I guess.
And to be honest, they're not really married to either one of these quarterbacks. They got them both this offseason.
But why would you not ride the hot hand? Like, why would you not just keep going with the guy that's given you success so far? Granted, it's mediocre success because they're not, like, blowing teams out. But if anything, it shouldn't matter what quarterback you're starting because your defense is winning you games.
Well, I mean, I think it does matter. I would rather have a guy like Fields who can extend plays and what have you, especially when your wide receiver group is literally George Pickens, sometimes when he cares to run routes, mm-hmm. and Pat Freiermuth. I'd rather have the guy that has the legs. It's going to be a fun game to watch with everything going on with the Jets and now the Steelers potentially making a QB change. Even if the game itself is bad, I can't wait for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get more on the Amari Cooper trade and everything going on with the Bills as Sal Capaccio joins the show next. You're listening to WGR.
I don't think Amari Cooper is going to come in and be a big-time field stretcher for the Bills. You know, maybe earlier in his career that was more of what he did. But to your point, the Bills are kind of choosy with their shot plays, which doesn't necessarily line up with the frequency that Josh Allen throws the ball down the field. And so I think where Cooper is really going to be an asset is in the intermediate areas where you just need a guy to go get a bucket, to run a route, to uncover, to be a route technician and separate.
There is the voice of Joe Marino. Joined Jeremy and Joe earlier today, talking, of course, the Amari Cooper trade, two wide receiver trades yesterday in the NFL. And for more on that, we go now to the Wester Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning? I mean, we're a little under 24 hours since the Amari Cooper trade happened. So, I mean, how's it sitting with you?
Well, I mean, I think, as I said to the morning show guys and yesterday, I think you have to work really, really hard to get to a place where you don't think there's a, like, that you think it's a bad trade for the Bills. Now, if you think it won't work, that's fine and reasonable and fair. If you are skeptical, you know, what kind of impact he's going to make on the Buffalo Bills, that's reasonable, skeptical, and fair. But I think you have to work really hard to say it's a bad trade in any respect for the Bills. Like, what could be bad about it? Losing a third round pick next year, I guess. I mean, you know, it's a third round pick. You are essentially, you know, getting, though, however, a guy who is still really good. He's had 7 1,000-yard seasons, and you're paying him less than $1 million, not only cash, but on your salary cap. And it's a player you need. It's a position you need. So, again, I think that anyone who says it's a bad trade is just looking for an agenda and has an agenda to say that, and you have to work hard to get there. But it's perfectly reasonable to speculate or be skeptical how much of an impact it's going to make, and that's what we're going to see going forward.
Sal, one of the craziest things about all this is how fast these two trades happen together. And do you think that this trade still would have been that quick if Adams had gone to, let's say, the Saints instead of the Jets? Like, is it just because it's the Jets, or is it just because, hey, that guy is now gone, we need to go get the next best thing?
It's a great question. We'll talk with Brandon Bean. We're scheduled to hear from Brandon Bean later today. And I wonder, you know, that's part of the, you know, thing we'll talk about and ask him, like, what about the timing here? How much did the Jets trade for Davante Adams have? How much of an impact, not only from just a practical standpoint of them adding, you know, a wide receiver, but also the timing of it? Like, were they monitoring and trying to get in on Adams? Now, I don't think you're going to get the full answer from Brandon Bean. You know, he's not going to give you all the behind the scenes, exactly how it went down. That's just not going to happen, but he might give an indication on, you know, when things happened and once that one move made it, that kind of set the market or something like that. So I also find it interesting, the timing. I would doubt that the Bills and Browns just started talking, you know, what, 35 hours ago. Probably something between, you know, the two sides had been talked about going back. But we'll find out. I remember last year when they traded for Rasul Douglas and they said, Brandon Bean said, they had actually, you know, checked in on Douglas a couple of weeks before that, and they just kind of stayed in contact. And then once it came time to the trade deadline, that's when they made the deal.
So, Sal, then, on Cooper, me and Josh were having this conversation as well. And in part, it is due to the Bills, but also the Jets kind of being pretty open about the fact he's playing on Sunday night. I mean, the hamstring, I mean, the miracles of modern medicine. He's ready to go after missing a few games with the Raiders. But I think everyone kind of anticipates he's going to play a major factor on Sunday night for the Jets. I'm less so certain a Cooper's going to play a major role for the Bills Sunday against Tennessee. I think the Bills do like to slow play it. Also, of course, there's not the connection between Allen and Cooper like there is between Adams and Rodgers. But for me, at least just personally, if he's in a limited role this Sunday, I'm fine. I think, though, by Seattle the next week, I think that's probably, I feel like he's got to be full go, right?
I mean, it remains to be seen, guys. All these situations are always different. You know, you get a guy comes into your building. He's got to learn a new system, maybe. He's got to work in the chemistry. He's got to matter, you know, with the quarterback. Like, Davante Adams goes to the Jets. He's worked with Aaron Rodgers a lot in his career, right? I mean, like, so they have that chemistry. But we'll see how much that translates to, you know, the offense and how much they want to incorporate him right away. But I think that he would have an advantage there to get on the field a little bit quicker than maybe Amari Cooper would here. But you could also just say, look, we're going to put him on the field. He's a 10-year vet. He's been in different systems. His same wide receivers coach from Dallas in 2021 is now the Bills wide receivers coach, Adam Henry. So I'm sure Adam Henry can get him in and, hey, remember when we did this in Dallas? This is what this is. And here's the terminology here. This is how you connect these things. So I don't know if there's one right answer there, guys. I mean, we'll see. They already released Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Now, that doesn't mean that automatically they're only going to roll with five wide receivers and these five ahead on the roster on Sunday. They could elevate someone. They could elevate Tyrell Shavers to the active roster or someone else until they get Amari Cooper up to speed. But no, well, those are things we'll find out as today and the rest of the week roll on.
So, Sal, maybe my favorite thing of this trade, and Cooper was the guy I was kind of banging the drum for. The Adams situation never really made sense for me, especially with, I mean, as we saw with the Jets, how much money they had to eat up just for this year. And then I think they've already reworked some of the contract to maybe extend this past this year. But for me with Cooper, number one, as you brought up too, I think he's 800 grand this year. Very cheap wide receiver to bring on, especially if his caliber. I think maybe though the thing I'm most excited for, especially even if this just works out kind of, is it pushes everyone down a peg, right? I think a big thing for me right now is I do want to see maybe what Keon Coleman can do in the slot. A lot of draft experts really like the idea of him being a big slot, and for the most part, the Bills have had him as an outside wide receiver. Khalil Shakir, you have as a slot guy. You know, I think that's kind of what his role is going to be. But I think just having Cooper on the roster, and I think that's even where if he's just a limited role against Tennessee, just having everyone go down a peg and maybe more correctly fill out their roles, I think can do wonders for this offense.
Yeah, you know, I like to use a basketball analogy a lot when talking about this. I think it makes sense. Sometimes when you think about if you have, you know, two guards who aren't, you know, one's really, you don't really have a true point guard. So you have to have one of your shooting guards play point guard. Well, now everybody's kind of a little bit different because you're not really fitting into the right spot. But all of a sudden you get a really good point guard, right? And you're like, wait a minute, now I can allow that shooting guard to actually move to his original spot where he belongs a little bit better. And everything just flows differently. You're in the right spots. Now, in football, obviously, we're not talking about necessarily slot versus outside. They have a slot receiver in Khalil Shakir, right? People have speculated maybe Keon Coleman can move to the slot a little bit more. And I wouldn't doubt that that could possibly happen at some point. I don't know if there's a little too much put on him there. For me, though, it's not even about slotting in the right spot positionally. It's kind of where they rank on the totem pole, right? If you go out to a game and you're a defensive coordinator and you're playing the Buffalo Bills, you're like, yeah, who's the guy that threatens us? Well, they don't really have one guy. So, you know, we just kind of got to cover him the way we do, and we'll go man-to-man. Well, now you put Amari Cooper in the mix. You're like, you know what? We got to have a little more attention there. So now you put a little more attention there. Maybe you shade the safety over a little bit to Amari Cooper. Well, now Dalton Kincaid has a little more room. Now Khalil Shakir has a little more room. I think that's where this winds up happening is, as you say, knock him down a peg. That's right, which is, I don't know like how you want to rank them. You want to put him number one atop the depth chart, whatever it is. I just think that Cooper gives the offense to have a little bit more attention put on him. When they're on the field, the defense will have to put a little more attention on him, which opens up a little bit more for everybody else.
So, Sal, I know it's a bit different because it's, you know, a shorter week, but I think you said there's like a walkthrough practice today. And, you know, what are we going to see from that? You think Cooper might be there, be somewhat involved? It is just a walkthrough. So is there a chance that he could be out on the field with the team today?
Yeah, there's a chance. I don't know that for sure, guys. You know, we'll find out later. We're not going to be able to watch anything as the media walkthrough. We don't see the walkthroughs. We don't go to it. So the media can't see that. So, you know, we'll be there later today. Sean McDermott will speak to the media at 2:15 p.m. And then I believe 2:15. I'll check on that. But it's in the 2 o'clock hour. And then they'll have a walkthrough. Yeah, it's 2:15. They'll have a walkthrough and close to the media. After that, at approximately 3:45 p.m., we're going to hear from Josh Allen, as we normally do. It's a normal Wednesday. We'll hear from select players. And if Amari Cooper is there, maybe we'll hear from him as well. That remains to be seen. And then we are also scheduled to hear from Brandon Bean right around that time or a little bit later, guys. So I know we're planning on carrying that on Chopin the Bulldog today. So if you want to hear what Brandon Bean has to say, you know, we'll have that for you.
Very, very busy day over at One Bills Drive. Sal, moving off of Cooper here just real quick, you could argue the Cooper trade maybe kind of saved some of this conversation for later down the road, or maybe not at all. But for the Jets game, I know a big talking point for a lot of fans on social media has been Tyler Bass, and it seemed to really come to light on Monday night. Where do you think the Bills go from here with Bass? Obviously, he got a contract extension with the team. There were reports. I think they were true, but that the Bills were checking out kickers or maybe working them out, what have you. And ultimately, he was not the only kicker missing kicks on Monday night. But man, it feels like it has really come to a head here.
Yeah, I think they have to start looking for other alternatives. And it doesn't mean you have to have that this Sunday. But I don't know how much longer you can go with putting Tyler Bass out there and just, you know, really kind of hoping that he makes what should be a routine kick for him. 45, 46, 47 yards. Now, It was windy on Monday night. There's no doubt. But you still got to make those kicks. And I know that there was some debate on whether or not the first one was tipped. It still wasn't struck very well. You got to make these kicks. And he hasn't been making them. And Sean McDermott said after the game, he knows he has to make these kicks. Greg Zuerlein also is a... I think it's that's a great example, though, guys, of, you know, you either... It seems like right now it's the haves and have-nots with kickers in the league. Either you have one that's hitting all the time from everywhere, or you have one that you're just... It's super inconsistent, right? There's just kind of been no middle ground, it feels like, which is why... I think it's also very tricky because who are you going to bring in that you're not thinking, I don't know if he's going to make it? Is there a street free agent you're bringing in that's replacing Tyler Bass that you're just really confident in? Then why is he a street free agent, right? Like, is there a guy that doesn't have a job that all of a sudden you're thinking, oh yeah, he'll make all these kicks? I'm not so sure. So I still think that Tyler Bass is still probably, you know, better than those alternatives. But at the same time, I don't know how you can keep going forward here because for whatever reason, mentally, physically, whatever it is, it's just something that's going to wind up really kind of coming back and back at them again more and more because as much as you think that it's going to turn around the next week, here comes another missed kick and there comes more inconsistency. So I don't know where they go from here. I'd be stunned if they're not at least looking into alternatives. It doesn't mean that it has to happen today or tomorrow. And if they do have an alternative, I don't think it means that Tyler Bass is gone right away. Could be. They could make a move. It might just be, hey, let's sign somebody to the practice squad, get him in here, see what he can do, have him kick in our stadium, you know, in practice and things like that. And then if Tyler Bass has another week of struggles, maybe you make a move on that.
And then, Sal, I did want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, it is, of course, the trade that kicked off yesterday. Davante Adams to the Jets. It's felt like that has been written on the wall for a few weeks here that seemed to be not the only team involved, but I would say definitely the favorite. He goes there. I mean, the trade's announced, and he was already in New York. I mean, that kind of tells you how everything was going. But what do you make of
yeah, and he's already playing this week despite the hamstring injury the last 2 weeks. That's
miracles
about, right?
Of modern medicine.
Listen,
Sal,
that airplane that he flew on was real special. Okay, they had some special procedures on there. They fixed his hamstring. Yeah.
Listen, he is a fantastic player. I mean, you know. Straight up, one for one, I think that, you know, you'd say, okay, you'd rather have Davante Adams in a trade than Amari Cooper. But you'd think about the $11 million they're paying him versus the Bills paying only $800,000. You know, you obviously see, you know, a lot of the differences and why the deal was made this way and, you know, the benefit to the Bills. That being said, sure, Davante Adams is going to help the New York Jets. I mean, now you can't just straight up, you know, double, you know, Garrett Wilson every play. You got Garrett Wilson opposite Davante Adams. That's a nightmare. And then Breece Hall running the ball. But guys, their issue hasn't been skill players. Their issue has been protecting their quarterback and running the ball with their offensive line. Their offensive line has been the issue. Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out very, very quickly. You know, when you have Davante Adams or Garrett Wilson, you have Hall of Fame wide receivers. Does it really make that much of a difference if you're just getting the ball out to them very quickly anyway and they're not making an impact downfield? I mean, I know they want to do that, but we'll see how it goes because that's been more of their issue than anything. It doesn't matter how great Davante Adams is if Aaron Rodgers is lying on his back looking up at the sky all the time, right? I mean, and that's kind of what's been happening here the last few weeks. The Bills got to him, and they can't run the ball to keep teams off balance, and teams aren't as scared. Now, they had some nice numbers running the ball against the Bills. They certainly did, but it wasn't like they controlled the game on the ground, right? So, yes, of course it's going to help the New York Jets because he's a fantastic football player. I just don't know if it really addresses their biggest problem, which then leads to how much of an impact can it really make.
So, Sal, one thing that I thought was pretty interesting about both of these trades, actually, is that they come pretty early on before the trade deadline. Do you think this, you know, makes the trade market active now, or do you think it goes back into a little bit of a hibernation period? And also for the Bills and Jets, I mean, what does this mean in terms of, you know, their ability to make trades for the rest of the deadline here?
Well, the Bills still have a lot of draft capital next year. Despite giving up the third-round pick they did next year for Amari Cooper, they did get a sixth back. So I tweeted out today, if you guys can look at it, at Sal Sports on X. Now, if you take the projected comp picks that they're going to get in this coming draft for last year's losses of Gabe Davis and Leonard Floyd, the Bills still have 10 draft picks next year, guys. And you're talking 2 twos and 3 fours. That's still a lot of draft capital. If the Bills evaluate their roster and say, you know what, we still need a little bit more against the run. You know what, we still need a little bit more pass rush. Maybe we still need another wide receiver. They can still play in that market a little bit if they want. Now, I don't think Brandon Bean has a huge desire to start just shedding off all this draft capital. This is a transition year, and they've kind of set themselves up to be able to have some money free next year and have some draft capital, which they have. But they're not out of the marketplace to be able to make trades if they feel that there's something out there for them to make. As far as the league is concerned, I mean, you know, these things come in bunches. We saw this, but now it's already a little bit later in the week. I'd be surprised if we see anything really come up, you know, now that we're sitting here on a Wednesday into Thursday tomorrow, and then maybe next week it starts back over again and we see a couple of these things start happening again.
And then, Sal, real quick before we let you get out of here, we got a very busy day over at One Bills Drive. The Yankees, Aaron Judge, first home run of the postseason. How are we feeling?
Well, I love the fact that Judge finally got one. You know, he was having better at-bats, and he was getting walks, and he had a nice sacrifice fly. So he was getting better at-bats. He felt like he was close, and he finally, you know, put one out. And hopefully that just kind of propels them. But they got to go back to Cleveland. And Cleveland's a tough place to play. That's a really great home field advantage they have. They have a really good home record. So, I mean, I'm not sitting here counting anything yet. I mean, it's a nice spot to be in, up 2-0. You only need two more wins to win the series. But going back to Cleveland, anything can happen. If Cleveland gets Game 3, that's a brand-new series, guys. So, yeah. I'm feeling very, very good about what they've done the first two games. There's no doubt about that. But you got to get one out of two in Cleveland. I'd really prefer that first one.
All right. Sounds good. Sal, thanks for jumping on with us. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We do have some Sabres news. JJ Paterka available to play tonight against the Penguins. That, of course, per head coach Lindy Ruff. And then Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to be in net tonight. Not too surprising on the goalie, and happy to see for Paterka because I think that man has got all kinds of potential on offense.
I just hope that he's, I mean, if he's available for the lineup, I'm sure he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining, is he's going to be ready to go. And
I'm glad to see he's coming back this soon after that hit, because that, I was really nervous about that hit, because that would have been the second global series in a row. The Sabres go overseas, and one of their star players comes back with a concussion. Last time it was Dahlin.
Yeah.
This time it was almost JJ Paterka. Mm-hmm. It just, never go to Europe again, please. Don't do it. Don't. Anytime the NHL calls
I would argue,
don't do it.
I would argue to do it, not do it too, because you can't win there. Like, you're not winning.
No,
there.
The last time he won there was in 2011.
Yeah, and see, that's not good.
Far too long. That's 13 years.
Yep. Let's go to the phone lines, get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brett's been waiting here a long time. Brett, how are we doing this morning?
Not yet, no.
Brett, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, guys.
No problem.
All right, so something that, you know, as a Bills fan for 30 years now, it disappoints me that we even had to go out and get Amari Cooper. I know everybody's excited. I get it, you know. But why did Brandon Bean not go up in the draft? You know, Sal was just talking about all this draft capital we had for next year or for this coming draft. You know, we could have used some of that draft capital to go up and get Xavier Legette. I mean, we let Kansas City take Xavier Worthy. Yeah. You know, has he panned out Kansas City completely? No, but he's made a lot of good plays, right? You know, yeah, I know Xavier Legette hasn't really done much in Carolina because he doesn't have a great quarterback. But Josh Allen is a great quarterback, and Xavier Legette could have flourished in Buffalo. And you know, you guys just talked about Keon Coleman being a slot guy and Khalil Shakir being a slot guy. We have too many slot guys, you know, so the fact that we had to go out and get Amari Cooper is kind of disappointing to me, that we didn't get somebody in the draft, because you look past, you know, the past 5 years, look at all the great receivers that have come out of the draft. You know, yes, I understand Justin Jefferson is a once-in-a-generational talent. I get that. But there's a lot of other guys who have been solid in their first, second years. You know, and I'm disappointed in Keon. I understand it's still early. You know, maybe he will be a great wide receiver in the next 2 or 3 years. But right now, you know, Josh's window – He's in his prime. You know, Brandon Bean, I get we're in a transition year, but every year has got to be a year for Josh Allen to go and get a ring. Thanks for letting me talk, guys.
Yeah, Brett, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Brett.
I have a tough time with that, the last point, because while, yes, it is technically correct, you cannot operate like that. The Bills are in a transition year, but starting 4-2, being first in the division, seeing the AFC as a whole is not great. I think Nate Geary was even tweeting that exact phrasing. You make a move. You go get Amari Cooper on the cheap, what have you. And on the draft, I had my favorites too. It sounds like Xavier Legette was yours. They didn't go get him. They picked the guy they want.
Yeah.
I do agree, though, there's probably too many slot guys, especially and maybe my biggest issue with Keon up to this point this year. I mean, to the point where I was looking for any numbers that would tell me he was getting separation is the fact that he's not getting open. That all of the issues or worries you had coming out of college are still a thing.
Early on, but still a thing. It's something he had never done. And like you just said, that was what we were worried about, and our worries have come true so far. But you've brought it up twice today now. It's if Cooper comes in here and pushes Coleman to the slot, which I think he will, that changes things.
They
that
arguably really though, do things. Still, I mean, arguably they do still have too many slots. Because Khalil Shakir is just going to be, he's one of the best slot receivers in football today. I mean, like just right now he is, and he's got better hands than 90% of the NFL. I mean, he catches basically anything thrown his way. This is where, though, I'm probably going to say this for the next 15, 20 years, but you need to draft receivers. You need to make sure the cupboard is not empty. Them going to get Cooper is an acknowledgement that the cupboard got empty. It is.
Right. Yeah.
Now, with that being said, and why I don't criticize them nearly as much as the Jets, is that for the Bills, it was like kind of the only weakness. You didn't have an outside boundary wide receiver. Yeah. You didn't have a guy that defenses were going to have to like kind of stare at and go, okay, make sure he does not get open. Because Cooper has been a guy who on a whim, on a random day, and this is not hyperbole, puts up 200-yard games.
Yeah.
I think he has five in his career.
And I want to go back to the Xavier Leggett thing, too, because while I like Xavier Leggett as a player, too, coming into the draft, he's not the type of guy that I would have said, if you go and get him, this season looks completely different. You don't have to trade for Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. He's very much in the same vein as Coleman of, like, yes, he has traits, he has the abilities, but he's not quite there yet. Brian Thomas Jr., on the other hand, he was personally my favorite coming into the draft.
That one kind of hurts.
He would have been completely different. If you go out and get Brian Thomas Jr. in the draft, then I think it's different. I think it's you wouldn't be in this situation where you're looking at Amari Cooper and thinking, that's the guy we need on our team right now because what we have isn't quite there. If you have a Brian Thomas Jr., looking at what he's done in Jacksonville, it's a completely different conversation. And again, these are all rookie players coming into their first year, so you never know what they're going to do with their teams. I mean, look at Xavier Worthy. He was the fastest man, the speedy man. Like,
they've been able to use him in a variety of roles.
Right,
but he has two more touchdowns than Coleman purely due to the running game.
Right, but other than that, he has the same yardage, the same type of receptions.
Actually, he has less yardage. They have the same number of catches. Worthy's at 179, Coleman's at 202.
Yeah, because the Chiefs are on a bye week this week. So obviously Coleman got a little more action there. But I look at, you know, when rookies come into this league, each year is vastly different than the last. Like, it's not something to hang, like, a season on, because I don't think that, you know, a different rookie other than Keon Coleman would have made that much of a difference this year. I think we'd still be having the same conversation unless you get a big name, a top three.
I think the only rookie that I've seen up to this point that I'm like, oh yeah, all right, if he was on the Bills, they probably don't make the Cooper trade, and it is Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, or anyone above him.
But he was number four. Yeah, they were in somewhat of a position if they wanted to, you know, reaching into this year's draft capital.
Yep. But they didn't.
They could have made the jump up, got him before Jacksonville. I'm partially glad they didn't. Again, there's a lot of receivers coming into every single draft. I just want to see the Bills then not it's tough for me to say I don't want to see them already extend Cooper when he literally hasn't even practiced yet for the Bills. But there will always be a part of me that's like, no, I want them to go younger. You know, I want them to go draft that guy to get them on the cheap, to have them for 4 years before you even have
to
pay
somebody.
Don't
be a rental team. Be a dynasty team.
Be a team that, like, you're seeing the young core come together because you're seeing on the defense. Terrell Bernard comes back and in 2 weeks is already making huge plays after missing a few weeks. Taron Johnson is the best nickel corner in the sport. Dorian Williams, with Matt Milano out, is making plays every single week. Like, they've got a good young core. Even Ray Davis, who they just drafted this year, is kind of
he
already
looks fantastic.
He's telling you kind of already in a very short sample size that in a year or two, when you've got to talk about maybe, you know, oh, do we extend James Cook? Ray Davis is already kind of telling you, nope, no, you don't.
Yep.
You'll be just fine with me. So it's tough for me to immediately point to rookies now, Brian Thomas Jr. kind of being the only one that they had a shot to. Then I'm like, if they didn't get him, or if they got him, the Cooper trade, I don't even want to say likely, but likely is not made. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in talking about Amari Cooper. Sabres game tonight as well. Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
his ability to create separation. You know, he does such a great job at that. He's such a student of the game. He's a smart guy. You know, he played with Teddy Bridgewater in high school. So I've been from South Florida. I've obviously followed Amari for a while. And Coach and Teddy used to always talk about him, just the type of how cerebral he is and how he understands leverages and out of attack and in really good and strong hands. And so he has a unique skill set, something that with some traits of guys that we have on our team, some that we don't, you know, and it'll be excited to be able to work with him and figure out, you know, how it's all going to kind of work in our offense.
There's Buffalo Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady talking about the newest Buffalo Bill, Amari Cooper. Very, very excited. Hope to see him just being in Buffalo. Be cool if we heard that he is part of the walkthrough practice or what have you. Sean McDermott speaking later today. Bills general manager Brandon Bean speaking later today. Everyone is speaking today.
Maybe Amari Cooper.
Maybe Amari. Well, probably not.
But hey, you never know.
But yeah, it seems a very, very busy day over at One Bills Drive. Going to go back to the phones here, and we've got George on the line. George, how are we doing today? George, are you there? George is not there. That's a shame. He wanted to talk, though, about Curtis Samuel there and maybe why he hasn't been used more. On that, I think it's tough because, like, in one aspect, you're like, oh, I mean, well, he's, you know, clearly been hurt. He was dealing with turf toe for much of training camp. You know, the toe injury popped back up on the injury report.
That was the part that it's like, okay, that – it's not that it's a bad sign in terms of
a turf toe is a season-long thing,
but turf toe is something that sticks around for a while.
Yeah. So you saw that and went, okay, makes sense. I get it. All right.
Yep.
But then in the next breath, you're going, yeah, but wait, but they were only using him in bubble screens anyway. So, like, what are we doing here?
Right. But was that the reason?
Was that the reason?
That's where I think it might be. And that's, we're going to see that this week. If he continues the same role he did last week,
I'm feeling a little
against
bit better.
The Titans. Then I'm also feeling better. I think it's just maybe it was just an injury thing. You know, because if you think about it, when Brady had Samuel in Carolina, it was, you know, gadget plays, flea flickers, screens, all that stuff.
Yeah, they used him a lot and he had a career year.
Right. But what I'm saying is if Brady's sitting there saying, okay, well, he's hurt, but we still want to use him. Mm-hmm. Let's try to use him in the way we did when we were in Carolina. Him and Samuel, I'm saying, not the whole team, obviously. But
that's where you got to sit Joe down and be like, man, you work for the Buffalo Bills now. And I don't know if you know this.
Josh Allen's your quarterback.
Not even that.
Not.
You cannot do a screen game here. That is just the rules. It will not work.
No, we don't defend it, and
we will not run it.
But if you think about it, I look at, you know, if that's what Curtis Samuel, you know, if he's hurt, that's his bread and butter. That's what he can always do, mm-hmm. regardless of if he's a little banged up or not.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that they were trying that.
Yeah.
But if it's just that was their plan.
Oh, boy.
And they shifted from it, then good on you for shifting from mm-hmm. it. But what in the world was the plan?
Yeah, you're paying a guy $8 million a year to, and like you said, if that was the plan and injuries didn't play a part into it, you're paying a guy $8 million a year to be effectively a gadget guy. And that, man, I think
over the next 3 weeks, if he continues the same role, you're going to see that was indeed probably just, hey, let's keep him involved just in a smaller role.
We're working him back in. He's healthy enough to play, not really healthy enough to fully go.
Mm-hmm.
Much better, though, on Monday night. 4 targets, 3 catches, 44 yards, of course, one of them being a 38-yard catch.
Which was huge.
Which was nice. Yeah. I mean, the only catch that had more yardage to it was Ray Davis's broken play for 42 yards.
The replay that is so funny. Davis is just
waving
leading up to it, he's just waving his arms like a madman and then like catches it in the air, does like a bicycle motion in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're pedaling a bike, that's what his feet like did in the air. And then like throws it back up to himself and catches it again and comes down with it.
I did not realize how close he was to dropping it, watching it live. And then I saw the replay and I went, oh, no.
Right. Yeah, I thought for
again,
sure he dropped
it. I have PTSD from James Cook dropping wide open passes
mm-hmm.
for big gainers or touchdowns or what have you. Yeah. I can't have both running backs doing that to me.
One of you has to catch them.
Yeah, please. His performance, though, on Monday night was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I know Frank Gore Jr. was called up. I know there was a lot of Bills fans, including him in my immediate circle, that were excited to see him and maybe see him do anything. But to see Ray Davis just somewhat seemingly on short notice, because I remember a report, and I could be very wrong, but I remember seeing that via James Cook's agency, I think Ian Rapoport or Adam Schefter tweeted out that he was going to play Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he wasn't. And, you know, Ray Davis gets thrown in there. And for him to have just shy of 100 yards and, you know, 55 receiving and just be kind of a do-it-all guy. And that first drive, Josh, oh my goodness. The physicality of that first drive. Yeah. Dalton Kincaid.
Kincaid's first catch was just boom.
And
like,
and then
good morning.
And then Davis, hello. You're just seeing him just like, I mean, actively seeking out contact.
Mm-hmm.
It set the tone for the game. It also kind of set the tone that the Bills were going to get some chirping penalties and stuff like that, because I think that's what a lot of those penalties were. Like, especially Spencer Brown's eventual pancake. I think that was more to do with for four or five straight plays he was chirping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they call it. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I mean, that's why they called it. But the Bills really made an effort in that game to impose their will, which is something we don't always see with the Bills. We really don't. A lot of times it is more of a finesse passing game. Not saying that's a negative, but we really don't see them like outright try to stare a team in the face and go, we are tougher than you. We will hit you harder. We're faster, the whole thing. And they really sought to do that on Monday night. And I think they really kind of did. Ty Johnson himself also had a lot of big runs as well.
Revenge game, Ty Johnson.
That's right. Revenge game, Ty Johnson. And I think, though, they're going to have to do somewhat of a similar thing against Tennessee. Tennessee's a great pass defense.
But also, at the same time, Jeremy and Joe were talking a little bit about it earlier today. L'Jarius Sneed has not looked great.
No.
For Tennessee.
No.
And that was kind of like a big, whoa.
That was one of their moves they made this offseason that made you go, oh, they think they're better than they are.
Right.
They really like who they are.
Yeah. And I just can't wait to see what Will Levis does. I want a Will
See,
Levis
I
meme.
Don't.
No. I'm saying in terms of the funny pictures. He always has something funny happen.
He does, but then this last week, like the funny meme thing that happened was the poor ball boy gets taken out.
I'm like, we've
crossed the Rubicon now.
Yep.
Now he's hurting other people.
He's now hurting others. We need to stop.
He is an enigma of a quarterback.
Will Levis?
Yeah.
What happened to last year? Where did all that go?
He was lucky.
Yeah, well,
because he looks a lot like he did at Kentucky. That it's he's got a wicked arm. I mean, just it very clearly NFL talent there.
Yeah,
and outside of that, it's not great.
Decision making is terrible.
His mechanics are kind of bad.
The vision's not great. The mechanics are bad. But I wonder though, like, I mean, isn't this kind of the same thing people were saying about Josh Allen? Not in the sense of him being this bad. He was not nearly as bad as Will Levis is. But,
I mean, he did have some hysterical misses, though.
Yes. So
looking back now, we're funny. At the time, we're tragic.
Isn't it kind of fair to say that if he goes through the right sort of offseason glow-up this year, not to say he could be Josh Allen, but he could just at least improve and be somewhat of a respectable quarterback.
And I think that's right. And I think guys like Allen, Herbert, Lamar.
Herbert, too. I think Herbert's a better comparison with Will Levis.
They've opened up the window now for quarterbacks to like not immediately just get trashed.
Yeah.
Instead, right. It's like, hey, teach accuracy. We can teach better mechanics. You know, you're not going to the perfect college or having, you know, all these passing academies when you were in high school.
Yeah, because now
we can get you there.
Because then it was, you know, if you're not one of the top three quarterbacks, it's just, oh, well, sorry.
Gonzo.
Better luck next year.
With, like every now and then you get a Russell Wilson or a Dak Prescott. Like Wilson, his big thing was, what was his issue? Oh, nothing was mechanics or his throwing. He was short. And, you know, you saw that in his rookie year. He was great right away. Dak Prescott, you know, a lot of his thing, too, was that he just wasn't as precise of a passer coming out of Mississippi State. He was much more considered like a physical runner and more of a problem for that. But you saw pretty early on, especially when he had a very talented Dallas team, he was able to kind of grow gradually. Will Levis, though, I just don't think he even has like kind of that window, too, because I don't think Tennessee's coach likes him. And I think that's a big part of this is that, look, he ultimately was not benched. But I do not think Brian Callahan is a fan of his at all. You heard it in the first few weeks. Where
he sounds
very
annoyed.
Yeah. That just like,
dude, he just sounds like a coach that's just fed up with his quarterback trying to get through the season.
Because I think it was like in the first 3 weeks. Like it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, too, is just like you're 23, 24 years old. You're in your second year. Like, how are we still having these conversations? How are you making these mistakes, what have you? And to some of it was unfair. But there is also that. Yeah, I mean, like we all love Josh Allen because he's able to make those insane plays that just no one else can make, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis is the look of a guy who wants to make those plays, has the same mindset to make those plays, and can't.
And that's where you get the funny memes and the insane interceptions that have you just like looking if you're a Tennessee fan going, are we sure Mason Rudolph is not better? Are we sure?
I mean, he did do okay that one half quarter.
He did all right. To play. But I look at like him and Jordan Love are like mirror images of each other, but in the sense of like Love can make those plays, but does have a lot like Allen early in his career. Some of the turnovers that you're just like, oh, what is happening here? Like, what is going on?
Right.
But, I mean, he had a throw over this weekend, too, that just was like, he threw it into triple coverage, but threw it just high enough that only his receiver could get it.
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis, the poor guy, throws it. He's going to throw it an inch shorter.
He's going to throw it chest high, and all three cornerbacks are going to just catch it together.
I am interested, though, to see how he looks against this Bills defense, which... I mean, now as they keep getting healthier and you've got Bernard back, you've got Taron Johnson back, that is going to be fun to watch. And then also the Calvin Ridley situation. We were talking about it off air. I don't think we brought it up yet.
He was mad.
He is upset.
He is mad.
I mean, words we can't play on the radio kind of stuff mad after the game of like, I need targets
I
earlier.
I need the bleeping ball.
This is getting ridiculous. Like the whole thing. And it's just like, yeah, okay. And this might, and I don't want to take a victory lap because like they can obviously turn it around. But like I felt this way about Tennessee like the whole offseason is I'm like, man, they're making a lot of moves for a team that thinks they're way better. Like this offseason felt like Will Levis last year threw like 25 touchdowns and 7 picks, and they're like, yeah, but if he started, you know, all 17 games, he's throwing 35 touchdowns, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that at all. It was one really good game. That was awesome. 4 touchdowns, deep balls, the whole thing. It was great. And then a Miami game in which he didn't particularly play well. He did wild stuff. Like, he threw his body to the wind and said, if the tornado kills me, it kills me. but that's why they didn't play that well. And it was more Miami losing the game. Like, he was really living off of his first career start. And I think the Titans were taking that and going, if we can just harness that, we're going to be good. And to this point, I mean, 5 picks, 7 intercept, or 5 touchdowns, 7 picks. It has not been good in the least. And again, 1-4. And then you come to Buffalo, who, I mean, now that fan base in that stadium is going to be rabid with Amari Cooper. The win over the Jets, you're 4-2. You're sniffing 5-2. The one seed kind of feels a little bit of alive again. You know, there's also going to be, I would imagine, a lot of Bills fans. Something I thought about too. You stole Amari Cooper from the Chiefs, even if they weren't involved in it. It's the feeling of, yeah, but the Chiefs didn't get him. We did. After 2 straight losses, I mean, the fan base is back. And the sky is falling attitude is not there. And it was not a great win over the Jets. It was more the fact of, but you won a game you typically lose.
And I don't think.
And then you made the Cooper trade.
I think that the vibe was still good even before the trade. But that trade just, you know, sends things to the moon. And it's largely in part because of, like we've talked about all day today, is what he brings to this team is not only just the ability to be down the field and catch the ball, but also the openness he's going to give to other receivers. The ability to be a distraction and let other guys get open. And Kincaid, too, not just receivers. You have to, you know, include tight ends in there as well because, you know, Kincaid's a great pass catcher, and hopefully this also helps activate
I'm hoping they're starting to push that more. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah. Real quick, this song. What does this song make you think of?
I do have a movie.
There is a movie,
and I cannot think of the name.
I can solve it for you right now.
Yeah.
Evan, do you know the movie?
Oh, it's Joker. There we go.
Oh, that's not the movie I was thinking of.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
There are a lot of things I think of when this
song specifically makes me think of The Replacements.
Oh, that works too.
It's
one of my favorite
football movies of all time. It's such a good movie. Keanu Reeves plays a quarterback, which is just wild.
Is it Shane Falco?
Shane Falco, baby.
Yeah.
Shane Falco. And then Gene Hackman plays the coach.
That's right.
Other than that, I don't remember. Oh, Jon Favreau's in it. He plays a crazy linebacker.
Yeah.
Who else? I don't think there's anyone else that big in that movie, but
it is wild with Keanu Reeves. Like, he's not, like, objectively, he's not a great actor. Like, you get Keanu Reeves.
Get out.
But, like, he has always been, like, super popular.
Stop. What are you talking about?
He's never going to be in, like, a period piece drama that's, like, Oscar bait. Like, he's never going to be in that.
It's not his shtick.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, he's not, like,
There are
an
so,
actor's actor.
Think about it, though. Think about how many actors there are that are great actors for very different things. Like,
yeah.
Like John Candy.
Okay, yep.
Like, he's one of the most beloved characters of all time, or actors of all time, just because of how good he is in all the comedies and in family movies and things like that. But he was never in a period drama piece or whatever threw at me with Keanu Reeves.
But, I mean, he's not a good actor. It's Keanu Reeves every time. But
he's just playing himself, which, hey, sometimes people say that's the best kind of acting. You're just being yourself.
Oh my goodness!
No, I will no. I'm just standing on a hill to have an argument.
I would say, like, he's not going to be that guy. Like, no one's ever going to confuse him with Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, right. I know what you're saying. I'm just being that guy right now. But no, that movie though,
I have not seen that in years.
That song just always makes me think of that movie because that's when if you watch the movie. Or if you've seen it, it's when Shane Falco comes out of the locker room and in the big game that they're supposed to win, and everyone's like, "Oh, there he is!
There he is!"
So
that's his music.
Yeah,
it's the perfect montage song.
Yeah, and it's just that movie too is just like the quintessential '90s sports movie.
Yes, it is.
Like it's a good movie.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't mean to get off a tangent there on The Replacements, but
I think you're right though. It's the perfect '90s sports movie. That's going to do it for myself and Josh Schmidt. Coming up next after a quick timeout as we do get ready for Sabres pregame tonight at 6, 7 p.m. puck drop against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sabres Live, you're listening to WGR.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.